Hello, and welcome to Cheese Flicks with Logan and Andrew, a show where two friends crawl through a river of bad movies and hope to come out clean on the other side.
Welcome to Cheese Flicks with Logan and Andrew. I'm Logan.
And I'm Andrew.
And today we review the Sundance Film Festival award-winning Cheese Flicks first of its kind, Turbo Kid. I'm done talking like that. And I don't really know why I introduced it so with such fanfare, considering I thought this would be a cheesy movie and then come to find out it's some award-winning great movie.
I did think that was funny when it said Sundance. I'm like, I thought we were picking cheesy movies, but you can't blame me. I mean, look at the poster. The poster alone, you got a guy with an eye patch. You got a guy in some crazy mask. You got this like 80s style poster art when it's a movie that was made in like 2015 or released in 2015.
Yeah, so this... I totally judged the book by its cover, which in this case paid off well for us, but I mean, this definitely, I wouldn't even, you know, I'm not going to spoil everything, but I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was not really like in a cheesy way, like it just was an enjoyable film.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it definitely has a healthy portion of cheese to it.
Oh, yeah.
But it's really well made, pretty good special effects, but they kind of knew that they couldn't do things in like a realistic fashion, so they kind of went a little beyond like Tarantino style with some of the blood effects, especially.
Oh, yeah.
Which made it really entertaining. And so Turbo Kid, let's get into it.
Sorry about that. I had to jump. I had to close the door. I had some background noise. So the movie was based in what, 1997? Post-apocalyptic future?
Yeah.
That already happened?
Yeah, so I guess the only thing I could assume is the Cold War didn't stay cold, because it's 1997, the world's gone to shit. You can kind of picture Fallout or anything of the like, Mad Max, definitely very Mad Max. But sort of the pop culture from the 80s has kind of survived, so nothing really progressed past then. And the theme song, the music in this movie is fucking awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
It's that 80s, like, I guess, synthesizer, right?
It's analog, like, Moog synthesizers that are, you know, are famous in, like, a lot of the old 80s films and, you know, horror movies and whatnot. Just the... But this wasn't definitely horror music. It was just really cool, like almost kind of spacey kind of, I don't know what you'd call it, just synthesizer music. But it was really cool, and they did a really good job with it. I've already been personally looking up the soundtrack, trying to figure out where I can just listen to it by itself. So kudos to the composer for that. That was really cool.
So yeah, that's kind of the setting for the movie, and we start out with this kid who's sort of scavenging, rooting through like a landfill or just like a pile of junk. You know, there's people's heads who have been dismembered that are stuck on sticks around them. So very obviously the world has totally gone to crap. That kind of leads us into the opening credit sequence, which we get a healthy helping of this 80s music, and we get to see some of the main character, who the main character's name, well, they don't really ever say his name. He is just referred to as the kid.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that until like halfway through. I had to get on IMDb and see, what is this kid's name? And he is credited as just the kid.
Yeah.
So the kid is on his bike doing some sweet BMX tricks to this 80s music.
Yeah, I mean, he was, I guess you kind of get a a nice little setup of what he's doing. He's kind of collecting. What was he? He was kind of collecting supplies, or kind of doing like, he obviously is just kind of exploring the landscape, and it has this nice like musical intro of him kind of. I'm trying to think of the movie it reminded me of. I think it was almost like a Transformers, the 80s movie, like the rock and roll kind of, I forget what band was playing, but it was, you know, picture like 80s metal or 80s rock, maybe like hair band metal is what I'm thinking of, that kind of stuff. As he's just kind of like collecting junk and whatnot to sell, and he's what does he find? Like a comic books and a flamingo or something.
Yeah, and he finds like a pen that when you turn it upside down, the little lady goes from like in a bikini to naked. Just like, I mean, just stuff, I guess. He's just looking for anything of any type of value that he can trade in for, you know, food and water and whatnot. So, yeah, so he goes back to his little hideout that he has. You know, he's got electricity, and then he's got a little hand crank generator, I guess. He's playing music on his Walkman. It's all this like 80s stuff, and he's jamming to some tunes, and one of his like trip wires goes off. Like, he's got like a security system where if anything comes close to his place, like a little cans rattle in his hideout. And he goes out there and kind of comes across this kind of grotesque looking like rat creature.
Oh yeah, and then it scratches his face when he tries to kill it.
Yeah, it's not super big, it's just, but definitely kind of mutated or something. So he kills that, and then he leaves out of his hideout, and he kind of heads towards the closest thing to like a town that the world kind of seems to have at this point.
Yeah, and he heads in. Yeah, and you kind of see he's in a part of like a little town or something, and that was where I guess you can figure that it kept reminding me of Fallout, the video game, just kind of like these little towns of junk dealers and whatnot, and people just hobbling together just to survive. But he ends up running into this kind of creepy junk dealer to sell what he's gathered around the wasteland. And it seems like he has a creepy relationship with the guy. Like, the guy is obviously kind of a weirdo, and he doesn't really like him very much.
Yeah, in this town, it reminded me a lot of sort of like the Star Wars, like Mos Eisley.
Yeah.
A lot of kind of random, odd-looking individuals, and there's no aliens like there would be in Star Wars, but everybody's sort of very oddly dressed, and a lot of, you know, kind of... randomly put together outfits and utilizing kind of junk as clothes, you know, using like a, I don't know, like a trash can as a helmet kind of thing, like just random stuff. And it's the costumes in this were all, I thought, really well put together. Visually very interesting movie for sure. And then, so we go from him trading this stuff in to there's like an arm wrestling contest between these two guys. You don't really know who either one of these guys are. And the one guy who's kind of got the more like cowboy look to him, he's got like an Australian accent, he's the winner. And he'll be one of our other main characters whose name is literally Frederick the Arm Wrestler. And then so the kid leaves out of the settlement and actually bumps into Frederick, and Frederick's kind of harassing him for getting into his personal space. The Frederick finds out, I guess, that his brother has gone missing, and is wanting to get like a search party together to go look for his brother.
Yeah, and I think that's when introduced to Michael Ironside's character?
Yeah, it jumps to them. Ding dong.
Oh. Hello. Take that one later. That was an introduction from Cheese Flicks to my cell phone. So, someone wanted to call in, apparently. I don't even know who that is.
You should have put them on speakerphone. We could have had a guest. Just answer the phone like, hello, you're on Cheese Flicks. Probably get some telemarketer like, what the fuck? Telling you your business has been approved.
Yeah. This is a reminder that your student loan payment is due. Like, oh, great. Thanks. Yeah,
like I didn't know that.
But yeah, then it kind of, I'm blanking on what exactly happened at this point with,
Zeus. So they jump and you kind of meet the main bad guys. So picture like a underground, swimming pool, or in-ground, not underground.
I want an underground swimming pool.
Yeah, that's super fancy. Like, you go to a sub-basement and get in your swimming pool. Anyway, so an in-ground pool that doesn't have any water in it. And these people are kind of in the pool, and they look like there's a lot of blood stains all over the place. And one guy kind of looks very similar to the arm wrestler that you just met. And then outside the pool, kind of sitting in, you know, like this thrones kind of situation, are these guys in these like heavy metal masks. And one of them takes the mask off, and it's Michael Ironside, who has a fancy looking eye patch on him. So it kind of start to think he's running some kind of crazy fight club. You're not really sure at that point in time, but one of his henchmen comes around, and basically Michael Ironside tells the henchman to go ahead and take out the brother, and he does so with a hammer that's like a long metal rod, and then the hammer part of it is like a cinder block, which I thought was a pretty sweet, like, improvised weapon, but pretty brutal. So he knocks him out, and then we jump back to the kid, and the kid's now on a swing set reading his comic book that he just got, that he just traded in for.
Yeah, and then this is when you meet what is her name, Apple?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is I guess you would say the co-star of the film, or kind of runs alongside the Turbo Kid. Her name is Apple, and she's this kind of like strangely plucky, innocent, sort of ditzy girl that just shows up out of nowhere. And I think he's kind of like the kid that you kind of find is very like shy. Like this kid is not like some, you know, pushy guy who's super confident. He's like very awkward and kind of nervous around everybody. I mean, the guy got scratched up by a mouse, for crying out loud, and it looked really bad. But right as they kind of meet, she ends up like slapping a wristband on him, and he doesn't really, I don't think, understand what that means, because she took it off of a dead body, and you kind of see her talking to this like dead carcass that's like, everything's gonna be okay, blah blah blah. So he tries to, like, run away from her because he's like, this person is insane, and he heads back to his hideout. But I think he kind of tries to take off the wristband that is now kind of affixed to his wrist and gets knocked out by it.
Yeah, so I guess while he gets knocked out, he kind of has a flashback as him as a kid, and you see his mom, and they're working on his bike, and his mom's saying like, hey, one day you're gonna need to learn how to do this on your own or fix this by yourself. And then something kind of happens and these bad guys start showing up, and you kind of get the sense, well, it's like, well, you might want to learn how to fix this bike, because looks like you might need to know how to fix it like tomorrow.
Yeah.
And all that. And then so then we jump back to present day, and we see the Frederick the arm wrestler and his crew. They kind of stop. They're all, and like, everybody in this movie is all on bicycles, which was something I thought was kind of interesting, is in a lot of these post-apocalyptic movies, you know, there's still cars, definitely very scarce, but they still exist. But I don't know that you see one like gasoline
motor vehicle.
Yeah, like motor vehicle. They're all,
I think you see like shells of them, or like ones that are hollowed out, but yeah, you don't really see any
that are running. Which, I mean, really makes sense. It's like, at some point you're gonna run out of gas, and even if there's still stuff out there, like, it has to be refined, and where are you gonna get it? So everybody's on bikes. So they stop, and Frederick is kind of, he's taking a bathroom break real quick, and then the guy he's standing there pissing, standing next to his like partner, all of a sudden like a buzzsaw comes like bursting out from behind him, like through his chest. And this is kind of the first like kind of close-up shot of some of the violence that you get in this movie. And it's throughout this whole movie, there's a theme where if you can imagine that the blood in people's bodies is under like extreme pressure, because every time someone gets cut or stabbed or shot or whatever, the blood comes like bursting out of them like an explosion.
Yes. And it is gratuitous, but it's in a comical way.
Yeah, it's very over the top to the point of it being funny. So yeah, this group of bad guys show up. One of the bad guys is one of the ones that you saw back in the pool scene. A guy that I just kind of called Buzzsaw, because he's got like a skull metal mask, and on one of his arms he has this contraption that has like not only a buzzsaw that he can cut stuff with, but also shoots like spiraling buzzsaws, which reminded me of, I think, Unreal Tournament. Was that the game where that was a thing?
What is it? There was a game where someone shot buzzsaws, I think.
And they like you could bounce them off the walls and stuff, and they would like cut people in half. But so they got that kind of thing. So you see that, and then so Frederick kind of gets taken, and then it cuts back to the kid and his new friend Apple.
Yeah, so she's found her way into his hideout and is going through all of his stuff, and he kind of wakes up out of his dream and is like, what are you doing here? And you're touching all my stuff. It kind of turns out that she is not going away, and she is she's very like innocently ignorant to his confusion of why she's there, kind of like she just won't go. She's reading his comic books and touching all of his stuff, and he wants her to leave immediately. But he's also a nice guy, so he's not trying to, like, you know, force her out by any, like, violent means or anything like that. And I think he kind of tries to explain to her, like, how things are, and, she, you know, I guess they kind of make an agreement to be partners. I don't know if that's something that's in the beginning, but it's kind of like they, but she, like, you know, she brought his comic book back to him and blah, 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 blah. She's trying to show that she's a friend, but at the same time, you get this weird feeling that there's something wrong or something odd about her.
Yeah, so he kind of says, like, he's going out scavenging, and she's kind of like, hey, I'll come too. And he's like, well, you really can't because you don't have a bike. You know, kind of trying to make an excuse. And then she finds those little, like, foot pegs that you can put on a bike, and it's kind of like, hey, we can use these. And he's like, I guess you're right. Like, you know, just kind of can't come up with another excuse to exclude her. So then she kind of goes out with him.
And he gives her all the basic rules of survival.
Yeah, so they kind of go through that over the next couple, spread out through the next couple scenes of them kind of scavenging together and becoming friends, and him teaching her. He even makes her an improvised weapon by taping a garden gnome at the head of a bat.
Yeah.
And what's she called? Her gnome stick?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's her gnome stick. So I thought that was pretty funny. And she's like super excited about it. She's pretty much super excited about everything. But they go off looking to get her a bike so that she can ride on her own and all that. So you kind of got that going on, that the scenes are kind of cutting back and forth between that and Frederick, wrestler, who now has, he's like
been captured by Zeus.
Yeah, by Zeus, which is Michael Ironside. I'll let you take it from there.
So he's sitting there, he's like, wants to know where his brother is. He knows that, Zeus has taken him, and, I think he ends up sitting in front of him. I forget exactly the line is, but it was weird too, because he's got this table covered in like a tarp, and he reveals that there is an arm wrestling table, and on either side there is a blender with and he goes, blades and fire, and then there's little torches that go through the blenders. Oh, man. It was a really funny moment because it's just... Michael Ironside's character in this is, I think, exactly the kind of role he needs to be in all the time. It's like over-the-top, scary, bad guy who is just delivering every line perfectly. So then it looks like he's about to arm wrestle the skeleton dude. I don't know. Did they ever name him? I think it's like Skeletron or something like that. I'm looking at the IMDb page, and I'm guessing that Skeletron is the guy that has the cool skull mask.
That's kind of him. I just call him Buzzsaw. Skeletron works.
Yeah, so he kind of like sets up for the arm wrestling match, and then he's like, as soon as he starts, he immediately acts like he's going to get in to do the arm wrestling, but then he starts attacking the henchman right away, and I think he actually like drops one of the guy's heads on one of the blenders, and right as his hands up getting cut off by Buzzsaw in this process, because he tries to punch Zeus in the face, but Zeus stops him, and then his hand gets chopped off by Skeletron, and it was as if it was like a garden hose spraying blood out of his wrist.
Yeah. So then we get back to the kid and Apple, who are Apple's kind of trying to teach the kid how to fight. I'm gonna be jumping ahead of myself, but you see that they're being watched, so they're kind of goofing around, scavenging, and somebody's watching the two of them. Like she tries to get them to play tag. So it is kind of weird because she's like the same age as him, kind of, you know, teenager, probably 16, 17 years old, something like that, trying to get him to play tag. And then out of nowhere, Apple gets taken. So somebody pops up and kind of snatches her. And it kind of starts this whole like chase scene. Well, this is like the guy. It's got like the big round hat. I don't know how I could really
describe. Kind of like Raiden from like Mortal Kombat. You get this kind of he's got, but it's like a plastic basket. It kind of reminds you of Raiden if you're familiar with that character in Mortal Kombat. It's like the rice paddy hat kind of thing. You can't really see his face, but he's also wearing a gas mask and I guess he chases the kid down on two bicycles again. This is a bicycle chase. Yeah, this isn't like a high-speed car chase or even motorcycles. It's just like two Kmart bikes, you know. But the kid ends up falling off of his bike and I think kind of like lands on this metal like kind of manhole cover. That he's not really sure what it is, but then he ends up falling into, I guess it's like a ship or something?
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be the ship for the actual Turbo Man, who is the main character of the comic book that the kid is always reading. So at the helm of this ship is the actual Turbo Man. So the kid takes his suit, keeps his own helmet, but takes this like super suit along with a power glove. I don't know what you want to call it, but it's, you know, like a gauntlet that can shoot an incredibly overpowered like laser beam explosion thingy. I don't know what you would call it. It turns out that it pretty much just like completely gooifies anything that it hits.
Yeah, and you also get a little backstory, too, I think, of what happened to the world, because it's like, as he's walking in, you have this commander that's saying, like, this is it, we've hit maximum casualty limits, and we have to kill these damn machines, you're our last hope. Or something like that is kind of on this, like, repeat video screen inside the ship.
Yeah,
you kind of get the idea that the, you know, that this turbo guy was supposed to, I guess, save the world from destruction, but he didn't make it. But now the Turbo Kid's here. And he's got a... And that's the thing, too, is the budget, obviously, is hilariously bad for the... I mean, it's great for, like, the special effects, but, I mean, when you look at his outfit, it looks like shit. Like, it looks like a cheap Power Rangers like outfit. It's got like pleather wrapped plastic and like the little like Nintendo console on his wrist is like hand painted, and it looks like it was, you know, it's very it's not as high tech as, you know, you would assume, but it works in this movie so well because it's like, I don't know, like I really like the direction they went with it because it's not like this you know, ridiculous over the top super, you know, I don't want to say like Marvel film, but you know, like super polished look. It's obviously and you know, it's meant to look kind of garbage, even though it's like the most overpowered thing in the movie so far.
Well, yeah, definitely, they were definitely trying to make this, like, if you kind of ran this through a filter to take it back to like standard definition, this would look a lot like kind of any movie from the 80s like this, you know, like just the kind of crappy costumes and special effects and all that. It looks odd in this movie because the picture quality is so good, you know. But yeah, it definitely kind of works. So he gets out there with his new suit and he kind of tracks down the guy that was hunting him and Apple, and yeah. He explodes him. Like, he just...
Yeah, he shoots, like, some kind of crazy energy burst, and it just... the guy just, yeah, it turns into liquefied blood.
Let's see. So then he catches up with, or goes on to find Apple in this, like, death pit, which is, like, the swimming pool, back where Zeus, Michael Ironside, is at. And you basically find out that what Zeus is doing is he's capturing these people and running them through this machine that extracts all the water from them. So he goes on this whole spiel about how, you know, people are like 80% water, and he goes through all the percentages of how much water is in your blood and your skin and your organs and your bones and all this. And he's like, so I built this machine to take that out of you so that I can have it and trade it and sell it and, you know, basically be in charge of everything, because I'm the only guy who has access to water. And then he says, let the juicing begin.
Yeah, and this all, I forgot, I meant to say this earlier when we were talking about it before, but this, the battleground kind of arena that they all do this gladiatorial combat in reminds me of Conan the Barbarian, the original, with Arnold Schwarzenegger, because they do, like, I think there's a lot of that in the beginning of the movie when he's kind of pitted against other gladiators, because it's like they're all just in this empty swimming pool, like just totally killing each other. And so the Turbo Kid jumps into the fray, and you've got a couple randos who, you know, aren't going to make it because they're just, this is the first time you've seen them, but then you've got Frederick and Apple and the Kid are all up against these menacing looking, you know, gladiator guys, and the battle that ensues is, you know, it seems like every time they make things gory and bloody, they just take it up a little bit of a notch each time they fight, because in this, I mean, people get their legs sliced off. I think one guy gets his head slashed in half. But yeah, so I think the funny thing is one of the guys that's on the good guys team runs at a guy and then trips over his own foot and then lands on his own knife and and stabs himself in the head. But yeah, it's just an insane fight. And of course, there's the giant man with the hammer that's all a part of this. And I'll let you go from there.
Yeah, she gets to see, like, Apple kind of goes to work with her gnome stick, and she's, like, super into it. And, of course, like, right towards the end, when the kid is ready to take out the big bad guy, it turns out that this little uber weapon that he has strapped to his wrist doesn't have infinite ammo. You know, it takes time to kind of recharge between so many uses.
Yeah.
So Zeus actually shoots Apple, and the Turbo Kid, or the Kid, kind of wipes out the rest of the henchmen. And then, let's see here. He creates some kind of distraction so that they can end up escaping. The Kid, Frederick, and then Apple, who is not dead. Kind of just took a shot in the shoulder, and you'll figure out here in a second why she's not nearly as badly hurt as you would think she should be. So they kind of get away after they wipe out all the henchmen, and Zeus and his the rest of his guys, like Buzzsaw, give chase. I think, and then we get like another flashback, which actually shows that Zeus was there the day that the kid's mom got killed.
Yeah. So yeah, and you kind of get the backstory of what happened, and well, I don't know if you get the full backstory just yet, but because you kind of this is definitely again in a blackout scene, but you see that it's that Zeus was there. I think it's kind of like a short cut before you get the full story, but then when he wakes up, you see that he's sitting there with Apple, and Apple's kind of chest has got circuitry blinking and whatnot in the place that she was shot. So, surprise, she's a robot.
Yep. So the kid kind of expresses some surprise at that and is confused because he was under the impression that all robots were evil, to which her response is, no, that's only certain models. Like, I thought it was funny the way she said it, because the way she said it implies like some were made to be evil and others just weren't. And so she is one that wasn't, so everything's fine. Let's see. And they kind of gloss over that pretty quickly. Like, he kind of accepts. She's like, oh, you're a robot. Okay, moving on.
But she's got, like, a damaged something. And she needs to... Yeah. I think she's, like, losing power. And she reveals her wrist, which it has, like, a little LED screen with, like, Legend of Zelda hearts that are, like, slowly decreasing, which I thought was kind of funny. It's, like, a video game power level.
Yeah, just like probably like 20 hearts total, like two rows of 10, and she's down to 15 hearts or so remaining, and basically tells the kid, if I don't fix this before the hearts run out, I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
So Turbo and Apple, and they kind of catch up with the merchant from the beginning that he was trading stuff with, to kind of ask him for help. And he says that they should look into heading towards the robot cemetery to try to look for some spare parts or whatever they may need to try to fix Apple up.
Yes, and then I'm trying to remember what happens next. I think there's kind of like a scene where there... Doesn't something happen to Apple?
Well, they make camp for the night, so they kind of stop in some kind of abandoned building, and they start a little fire, which they're fueling with VHS tapes, which was, I thought, like an odd little touch. And at this point, because Apple kind of keeps breaking down and then waking back up, so she wakes back up, and she's at about, I think she says she's at 7.5 hearts left. And this is actually, I think, where they have the little thing where she kind of teaches him how to fight and teaches him about, like, the vulnerable zones and tells him, you go, eyes, throat, genitals. Eyes,
throat, genitals. And then she, like, whoops his ass and he's, like, crumpled in front of her.
Yeah, so she doesn't quite understand that you shouldn't do that with your training partner. But it is advice that the kid will find useful a little bit later on.
Oh, God. And then it cuts to the scene with the junk trader that they ran into earlier. And now he's been kidnapped by Zeus. And this was one of the... This is definitely one of those times where I was like, I don't know if I can watch this. It was brutal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you get you're cut to the scene where there's some kind of hook inside of this dude's stomach, and it's obviously like attached to his like large intestine, and yeah. So they're trying to find the kid, and he's trying to get information out of this guy, and he doesn't. I don't think he wants to give him away necessarily.
No, but he obviously made it to the point that they cut his stomach open before he. You know, gave all the information up.
And so he kind of goes on to describe, or Michael Ironside goes on to describe how he's like, your guts are literally attached to this bicycle. And You have the skull dude on the bicycle getting ready to pedal, and you can just tell that the way it's all strapped together is that as the guy pedals, it's going to slowly pull the junk dealer's intestines out of his stomach, and that's what happens. And that's as graphic as I can go. But yeah, so they unfortunately I don't think he makes it. I'm just gonna go with that. And
you can get more graphic than that. This podcast doesn't have a rating.
It's true.
There's no children listening.
I mean, it literally looks like they're pulling taffy out of his stomach. It's not like horrific, but it's just the idea of it all is just like it would not be fun. And what I thought was just it was just way too real, but. I think it cuts back, and it cuts back to the guys, and they're it's the morning now. But I think they've been found, or the guys or the skull guys nearby. So skull crusher, whatever it is.
Yeah. So we get another kind of like bike chase scene between Buzzsaw and Apple and the kid, and Buzzsaw actually shoots his little buzzsaw and cuts off Apple's head, and. The kid kind of jumps and grabs her head and kind of tumbles down this hill. I didn't really see a reason why the buzzsaw guy didn't chase them any further than that, because it definitely wasn't the kind of hill where you could be like, oh, he's definitely dead kind of thing. Like, it was just like a small hill. But they don't. And so he wakes up, or kind of comes to, the kid does, in this valley, and there's all this green fog all over the place, and it turns out that this is actually where the robot cemetery was, so that worked out. And he takes Apple's head and duct tapes it to another robot's body, and that's pretty much the extent of his like engineering skills. Is just like, I'm going to attach it like a Lego head and just wrap duct tape around it and assume that everything else is going to work out just fine.
Yeah. And then you get, and then I guess, I forget, is the gas poisonous? I can't remember if he passes out, because I know the next scene is kind of another flashback.
Yeah, so the gas, I guess, kind of gets to him and lets you talk about the next flashback.
Yeah. So it, You finally get the full story. It goes back, and you see Michael Ironside's character talking to the kid's parents, asking for a cup of water. And I don't know. I didn't notice this right off the bat, but he has two eyes in this scene. And basically, after getting the cup of water, he pours it out and says, "Now, where did you get this water? Because this is my land, and I want to know how you got the water." And the parents are kind of like, "Hey, we told you what you wanted to know. Get, you know, just leave." And that's when Skull Crusher guy, Buzzsaw, grabs the dad and dunks his head underwater. And, the mom tries to help and hits the dude in the head with a hammer and tries to save her husband, but gets punched by the same guy. And he's like, "Look, I'm about to drown you." And that's a luxury in this day and time. Like, you know, not many people die by drowning. But right before he does, the mom says something about like, "Hey, don't move." And turns out she's got a crossbow, and she's pointing at Michael Ironside, and she's like, and he's like, "Yeah, okay, you won't do anything." Kind of, you know, like, no big deal. But then I forget what she says, but she kind of says like, "Well, let's make it something to be memorable with," or something, and shoots Michael Ironside in the face with the crossbow, and the arrow goes right into his eyeball. But right as that happens, Buzzsaw, Skull Crusher guy, shoots mom in the chest with a blade, and then runs up to the dad and does this insane like Mortal Kombat fatality on him with like two slashes across the chest, and he ends up like falling into four pieces. And I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, so then Zeus actually goes over, and the mom's not dead. She's still got a little bit of life left in her, but not for long, because he takes his golf club. He's always been carrying around this like 9-iron with him, and just kind of plants it in her head and finishes the job. So that's the end of the flashback. And so it turns out that Frederick actually finds the kid in the robot cemetery and brings him back. and says that Apple didn't make it. You know, she never turned back on, woke back up, whatever you want to call it, after having her head attached to a different body. And this is, I thought was kind of funny, is the kid is like, oh man, I can't believe you came back for me. And instead of like taking credit for a good deed, he's like, yeah, I was just kind of looking for a new hand. and just kind of happened to find you. So he's now attached a robot hand, which is like, again, how do you, you're taking machinery and just sticking it on organic material and like, ta-da,
yeah, everything works
fine now. But then Frederick and the kid roll out and to go get revenge on Zeus for, you know, just killing Frederick's brother, killing Apple, killing the kid's parents, as it turns out now. So they run into Zeus and Buzzsaw, and kind of they're sort of starting to posture for this big kind of final fight scene. And you see that Frederick has a bomb on his bicycle, which I don't think we said it before, but Frederick's bike is sort of your standard bicycle, but then with a sidecar on it, like you would with a motorcycle. I don't know that I've ever seen like a sidecar on a pedal bike. Have you?
No, but yeah, I actually thought it was one of those like trikes that you see old people ride around in Florida, but I think it definitely is like a trike. It's like a bicycle with a sidecar. Which is just hilarious. Again, another thing in this movie that is like, you know, I don't know, like obviously just makeshift. But yeah, it's in a cooler or something, isn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't tell what it was. I don't know if I looked that closely, but I love like the little sidecar. Just they kind of took all these things that you would have on cars and just put them on, you know, manually powered bikes and that to what I thought was a pretty cool effect. We get a real quick cutaway, and you see Apple wakes up in the robot cemetery. So you know that she's kind of coming back, and that kind of leads. And then we jump back, and Zeus is there with. He's there with Skull Crusher, Buzzsaw, whatever the hell we're calling him.
Yeah.
And his other like sidekick, who I don't know if she even says anything, but I just kept referring to her as Rufio.
Yeah, with a purple mohawk.
Yeah, it's just the hair reminding me a lot of Rufio, which, side note, I saw a story or something online about the person who played Rufio wants to kickstart, like, a Hook prequel about the, like, origins of Rufio.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. That sounds like it would be, I don't know, I'd probably watch it. I liked Hook a lot, to be honest. I mean, I'm probably not alone in this, but it was a classic of my childhood. And I think it still holds up today. Dustin Hoffman, what a revelation. Anyway. So yeah, and there's like it's two against like 52, it feels like. There's like 30 bad guys that they're up against in this final fight. But they end up doing some pretty awesome work on these guys. The Turbo Kid whips out his kind of hammer boomerang. And now that Frederick's got a robot arm, I mean, the blood and guts fighting that goes on in this scene is just insane. I mean, they're so creative with the way they kill people in this fight. It is just mind-boggling. I mean, I'm sure the guys that do like gory special effects just had an absolute blast coming up with, you know, the ways that they did this fight scene, because I mean, you've got. What are some of the ways that somebody dies? I mean, I think like one guy gets like sliced in half, and his torso launches off and lands on top of another person.
Yeah, and then at the end of the fight scene, like another torso, or no, the bottom half of somebody else.
Oh yeah, it's the same guy. So the top half ends up on one guy, and the bottom half ends up on another guy. So there's like two guys walking around with. Halves of another person on top of their face, so they can't see anything. So they're kind of like stumbling around with like half of a person attached to them.
Yeah, I mean, just throwing any semblance of realism out the window of in this fight scene. It's hilarious. It is, to quote red versus blue, you know, this is a blood explosion extraordinaire.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a scene where Frederick tears off a man's jaw, kicks him in the balls, and then shoves the jaw on his top, on like his nose, so it looks like his mouth is up on his top of his head. And there's just like blood squirting all over the place. And then he just like lights a cigarette and laughs and like gives like a thumbs up or something.
So because he rips the jaw off and he uses like the back part of the jaw, like where the molars would be, to like gouge out the guy's eyes.
God.
So this whole time, this bomb is counting down. It started at like 5 minutes, and it's getting down there. And once it finally gets down to zero, it just reads error, and nothing happens. So. And then Frederick knocks out Buzzsaw. And then Rufio's choking out the kid. I shouldn't say Rufio. The person that we... I don't know what her name is, but Rufio's the only name I wrote her down as, so that's her new name. Is choking out the kid, and Apple shows up. And basically just... She kind of shows up on a bicycle that has like a unicorn head attached to the front of it. And like as soon as I saw the unicorn head, I knew exactly where this was going. And I was loving it. As she impales Rufio with the unicorn horn. And then everything kind of settles down. And so the kid and Apple kind of reunite. And she's, you know, she kind of says all hurt. Like, it's like, you didn't wait for me. And, you know, he's getting ready to apologize for having left the cemetery before she woke up. And then she kind of, before he has a chance to say anything, says, to start the fight. Like, she's just mad that she missed, like, the beginning part of the big final brawl.
But that's when you find out... Because, yeah, like, the fight kind of ends with... I guess he blasts, like... Who does he shoot? Because well, he definitely, like, both. Blows away...
He shoots both Apple and Frederick. Like, both kind of
that's
in the...
Right.
Well, I think shoots Apple in the chest and then shoots Frederick, like, in the shoulder. And then...
But he got shot, too, but his canister of films... Or canister of, what is it? Those what are those things called? The
viewfinder?
Viewfinder
that's
things
what
are all...
Called it.
Yeah. Those kind of protect him from the shot. And then he goes on to use his power glove to, like, explode all the rest of the bad guys, pretty much.
Yeah, that's when we get, like, the guy who's got, like, torsos on top of torsos.
Yeah. Who's just, like, spinning around at this point. you know, like, he's not even doing anything.
Yeah.
And he's got, like, three torsos on top of him, I think, at this point. It's, like, a pair of legs, a pair of arms, two pair of arms, and then he just gets blown apart with the laser blast. I think the final guy throws down his weapons and runs off. But then, what is it? Michael Ironside kind of gets up from being down for the count and turns out he's also a robot.
Yeah. Yeah, so he kind of tries to use his robot power on the kid, and it ends up just charging up his turbo gauntlet thingy. So as it's charging it, the kid kicks the defective bomb to the feet of Zeus and hits it and detonates it in a gigantic explosion that should have killed just everybody there.
Yeah.
But really just kills the bad guys.
Well, she kind of like protected him from the blast, right? This doesn't make any sense, but yeah, it kind of looked like Apple threw herself on top of him before.
Yeah, that makes sense. But then the explosion also opens up like a water spring that was underneath the ground here. So then Apple, you know, they're kind of holding each other, and she says that there's something from a callback to something earlier where the kid's mom told her that when people die, they become stars. Apple says that she'll be a star now in the sky, kind of telling you that, you know, she's dying and it's going to be for good. Even, you know, it's the third time, like, today that she's gone down. and this time it's going to be permanently. So that's pretty much, that pretty much ends everything. So the kid and Frederick, they bury Apple, and I guess you kind of, it just kind of leaves it where the kid is, like, set to go out, like, on an adventure. You know, like,
yeah.
They don't really say, like, he's just going to kind of go out into the world and explore. They don't really say where or what he's trying to do.
Yeah, I guess he was invited to stick around and, you know, help Frederick. But he's like, nah. I'm now the wanderer. And then we kind of roll credits.
Yep. And that is Turbo Kid.
So, yeah, I mean, Turbo Kid was, for me, I thought was like a, I thought it was going to be this kind of corny thing. I mean, I hadn't heard anything about it before going into this. However, after, you know, I did find out that, you know, it actually was really well received and, you know, had like a pretty strong cult following. And I can see why. I mean, I thought it was really well done. I thought it was fun. It wasn't too serious. But it did like the cheese factor perfectly, in my opinion. I think that, you know, like they knew what this was going to be. It kind of reminded me of like the Kung Fury movie, that kind of a thing where it's like, you know, it's obviously playing on some tropiness of the 80s film genre, but at the same time still making it a lot of fun and not too not too cheesy, but at the same time not too, I don't know, ridiculous. Like they didn't make it so out of whack that I was just like, all right, I get it, beat it to death. So I gave it 5 out of 5 cheese wheels. I thought that this was maybe a little too good for cheese flicks, but hey, I'm totally fine with it because we needed one like this. I think after the last couple, Shark Lake and you know, Cowboys vs. Dinosaurs and Zombievers, that was those three in a row were pretty rough.
You know, in retrospect, we were talking about this at dinner last night, is Zombievers is kind of growing on me.
I think of the three of the bad ones, that definitely was the best of the three shit ones in a row.
Yeah.
I would say that, you know, and I think we were a little harsh on it, but at the same time, I mean, I don't know. I'd have to I maybe would watch it again.
I don't think I'd go that far. But yeah, Turbo Kid, definitely 5 out of 5 for me. I mean, top to bottom, I thought the acting is probably the best. I think probably the best that we've seen so far in a cheese flicks movie. I mean, Wolf Cop had some pretty good acting in it. And I still think this probably topped it in acting. The effects were funny. The costumes were great. The music was like perfect for the setting. I mean, really, it was a legitimately fun movie. And there's really nothing. I mean, I could rip on like the cheesy special effects in that, but that's what they were going for. They didn't have the money to do anything super high tech. They did a great job with what they had. So yeah, I loved it.
Well, sweet. I'm glad you liked it. It had a budget of what? I don't know if we.
I tried to find it and I couldn't. I didn't look that hard, but. If I had to guess, I'd say 10 to 15 million. I mean, they didn't have any big stars. I know it was shot in Canada in a relatively short amount of time. But just with some of the set pieces, I would think it would have to be a little more than, you know, like 5 or 6 million.
Yeah.
So you ready to hear what's next?
Oh, yes.
All right, so this one was a fan recommendation, so you can blame them.
Hooray!
This was recommended to me quite a while ago by both my Aunt Julie and my Uncle Wayne. We didn't do it sooner because it wasn't really available anywhere, easily accessible for anybody, so it is now available on Netflix. And this one has some big people in it. It's got Mel Gibson and Jodie Foster, and it is called The Beaver.
All right.
Yeah, so this is our second Beaver-themed movie.
On Cheese Flicks. Is that 2017? So this is the year of the Beaver, apparently.
Yeah, the year of the Beaver.
I remember when this came out. I remember seeing previews for this and being like, what the fuck?
Yeah, so I know almost nothing about it. I always forget that like the star rating on Netflix is based on what I've rated it, and I think the fact that I have one Netflix profile that I watch all these Cheese Flicks movies on, it has thrown that algorithm to shit.
Yeah.
So let me look it up real quick on IMDb and see what its overall rating is. 6.7, so that's not ridiculous. Mel Gibson, Jodie Foster, Antoine Yelkin, that's sad. Cherry Jones, who I recognize from being in Ocean's 13. Jennifer Lawrence? What the fuck?
Good lord.
So a lot of big people. Matt Lauer? John Stewart?
Okay, so this might be another sleeper.
I don't know.
How did they get all these names?
Yeah, they said...
Never mind. It got a 21% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, Julian Wayne said they couldn't make it through it, and it was brutal. So,
no, they got a 61%. That's better.
At the time, I mean, I think this was... They told me about this right around the same time that we did David and Goliath, and they're like, oh, we haven't seen that, but if you think that's bad, you should watch this. So I guess we'll just... I mean, time will tell. So The Beaver, available on Netflix. And if it sucks, you can blame my aunt and uncle. And if awesome, you can thank me for choosing it.
Yes. And I guess what we'll do is after we do this one, we'll do the I'm trying to think if we have any other ones. We did a live tweet this past weekend too. So if you guys followed along with us for what was the movie we watched? Badass with
Danny Trejo.
That was a good one too. So if you haven't though, we will every so often we'll do a live tweet. So follow us on Twitter at CheeseFlix, and we're also on Facebook as CheeseFlix, and you can also email us at hello@cheeseflix.com. And we'll once in a while we'll do a kind of a live tweet, and we'd love it for fans to join in and kind of watch it along with us, or if anything, just enjoy the antics of our goofy Twitter feed when it goes apeshit.
We'll try to announce it ahead of time. I know the first time we did it, we announced it like when we were doing it.
Yeah.
Which probably isn't the best way to get people to participate. But also, if you guys could please, 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 when you guys see us post anything on Facebook, please share it. Liking it is awesome, but sharing it is a great way to spread the cheesy word around.
Yeah.
We would greatly appreciate it. I know I keep meaning to bring that up at the top of one of our episodes, and I keep forgetting. And then also, if you could please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever it is that you get our podcasts. We only do one. Well, you do too.
Yeah. And you may do another one. Someday.
Someday. Well, maybe me and Dan will do Cheese Flicks After Dark. Cheese Dicks.
Cheese Dicks After Dark. That sounds real scary.
Well, not you can't do both Cheese Dicks and After Dark, because that's just too much. Either Cheese Flicks After Dark or Cheese Dicks.
Not both. Cheese Sticks. Fish Dicks?
Fish Dicks.
Fish Dicks? All right, this has gone off the rails.
We went off the rails. I've been drinking.
All right, well,
that's pretty impressive.
Nice. All right, well, my name's Logan.
And I'm Andrew.
And we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in. Later.
Well, here at last, dear friends, on the shores of the sea, comes the end of our podcast. Go in peace. I will not say, do not weep. Not all tears are evil.